From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Deaths from opioid overdoses are skyrocketing in Florida. New information from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement shows hundreds more people died after overdosing on heroin and super potent drugs like fentanyl than in years past. Today, we'll talk with pain management doctors about how using painkillers to treat legitimate pain can quickly lead to addiction. And we'll look at the staggering number of overdose deaths linked to super potent painkillers like fentanyl and carfentanil, which are increasingly found in illicit drugs like heroin. They're so powerful, they can stop your heart in just seconds. Plus, mollusks are on the move. Sanibel's Bailey Matthews National Shell Museum is taking its education on the road with a presentation for young and old to learn more about the animals that once occupied those shells we love to hunt on the beach. We'll talk about shelling do's and don'ts and find out which shell is the rarest of them all. But first, the news. Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. It's called the Sanibel Stoop, the position tourists and locals assume when doubled over investigating a pile of seashells. Every day of the week, it seems you'll see a beach dotted with people seeking treasure. And it's no wonder. Sanibel is consistently ranked among the top shelling sites in the world, which makes the placement of the Bailey Matthews National Shell Museum on Sanibel a natural fit. But now the mollusks are on the move, thanks to a brand new program that seeks to educate people about the animals that once occupied those pretty seashells. Lee Gay will give the first presentation of this program this weekend at the Lee County Manatee Park, and she joins us now in the studio. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We are talking about seashells on the seashore with a mollusk master, Lee Gay. Do you have a question or comment about shelled sea life? Give us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media, on Twitter at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. Lee, tell me how you got into the mollusk.
Well, I came to Sanibel about a little over a year ago, and I worked for the Ding Darling National Wildlife Refuge. Then I started looking for some part-time work, and I eventually got on with the Bailey Matthews National Shell Museum. And everything I've learned about mollusks, I learned from them. I only took one marine biology class in college, and we spent like one day on mollusks. So I learned everything from the people at the Shell Museum. They're very educational, very informative.
And now that you live in kind of like the epicenter of mollusk land,
do you
love it? Are you able to just kind of, really immerse yourself in it?
Yes. So I work and live on Sanibel, so I'm on the beach at least once a week. It's an odd week if I'm not. But I love being out there. I love finding rare shells and helping people identify what they're finding.
It's so fun to kind of know what you're looking at.
Right.
I have no clue. I just know I'm crushing most of it when I'm walking on it.
Right.
Before we get too far into it, though, I want you to lay out some ground rules for us for shelling. What is okay to take home? What's not okay to take home? And how should people treat the shells once they get them to their house to make them last longer?
Well, you never want to take live shells. Anything that's alive, try not to take it. There are penalties if you do. Plus, it's just kind of mean. You're taking live things from their home. It's not a good thing to do. So that's pretty much the only rule. If they're dead, take them. There's no rules against that. Now, when you take them home, a lot of people will put mineral oil on them to make their colors last longer. Some people soak them in bleach for a few minutes, but don't do it for too long because that can bleach the color out of them. You'll lose that color that you found.
But it does get the stink to go away just in case there's like a little leftover inside.
Right. If there's some leftovers of the mollusk inside, yes. The bleach will do the job, hopefully. But yeah, that's about it. There's not really
But
many
so
rules.
You think mineral oil, that'll help kind of keep that color?
Yes, I've heard that. I usually, when I take them home, I just let them do whatever. I don't put anything on them or, their color tends to fade because when you find them at the beach and they're wet, the color seems brighter.
Yeah.
And then when you take them home, you said, oh, what happened to that orange in this shell that used to be there? It's not there anymore.
That happens to me within 10 minutes. You put
right.
it in the sun and it's like, well, that was such a pretty purple, but now it's kind of looking sad.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if the oil would do that. I've got to try that with mineral oil, but that's what people suggest, huh?
Yes.
So what exactly is a mollusk? What qualifies something to be a mollusk?
So mollusks are usually things that live inside of a shell. There's two types of mollusks that we generally talk about, gastropods and bivalves. And gastropods are the things like whelks and conchs that have the big spire at the top and the one big opening. And bivalves are the kind that have two shells that kind of stick together at a hinge. They're mm-hmm. two-sided. So those are all mollusks. There are other mollusks in the ocean like squid and octopus.
So squid is one.
Yes.
Because I was doing research and I saw that octopus was one.
Right.
And I'm looking at that. How is an octopus? He doesn't have a shell. And then I'm wondering, okay, well, they kind of look like squid. I wonder if calamari is in that category too.
Yes.
So they are.
Mm-hmm. They are mollusks. They've just developed over time to where they don't need the protection of that shell anymore. They became really fast. So they didn't need the protection of the shell over evolutionary time. But yeah, so most of our mollusks around here, they do have shells. They're not very fast. They move very, very slowly.
They do move very
slowly.
So
they need some protection from the shell.
Have you been out there at the times when the conchs are all kind of beached?
Yes, yes. So sometimes after a storm, we'll get live shells washing up on the beach. And you can find just hundreds and hundreds of live shells on the beach that day.
Yeah, and those you're not supposed to take.
Correct, yes.
Although people do make conch chowder.
Right.
So, is that the kind of conch they're talking about, or are they bigger conchs from down by the Keys?
They're bigger conchs, usually from the Bahamas. That's where we get those. Because ours are all protected by that live shelling ban.
Well, I don't want to incriminate somebody that I know, but years and years ago, someone tried to cook one. It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was bad. Gotcha. I don't know what they did wrong, but it was just not good.
Nice.
So when we're walking around on the beach, everything that we see that is a shell is a mollusk, or was.
Yes.
Was home to a mollusk.
Right. So the shell of a mollusk is, it's not really their home. It's more like their skeleton. So mollusks can never switch their shell. They never grow a new one. They're born with it. So it's like their skeleton. Just like we're born with our bones inside of our bodies, they're born with theirs on the outside. It's like an exoskeleton type thing.
Kind of like an armadillo, maybe?
Yeah, or a turtle.
Yeah.
You know, turtles are attached to their shells. They can't switch them either. So
yeah, unless they're in cartoons.
Right.
Always comic genius.
Exactly.
We have a caller on the line. This is Tam calling. What would you like to ask?
Yes, I'd like to know for bivalves, the longevity, how do you know how old they are? Is it something that you could tell by size, like a tree has rings?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. We get that all the time at the museum. Unfortunately, you can't really read shells like trees. They grow depending on the nutrient availability in the water, what they're eating, the water quality. So all of those things can affect their growth. So you can have two mollusks that are the exact same age, but if they grow in different environments, then they could be, then they are different sizes. So
they used to say that fish would grow to the size of a tank.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of the same situation with shells?
Sometimes. Some species will continue growing for their whole life, and then others will get to a certain point and stop growing. It's kind of like people. We don't grow for our whole life. We get to a certain point, and then we pretty much stop.
Although I have read that sometimes our noses and ears continue to grow, the cartilage.
Gotcha. I hadn't heard that.
That's why people have big, huge ears when they're like 90. like my grandfather. God, I love him. So what purpose do these little guys serve in the ocean? Are they basically food for everybody else?
Well, some of them are food and then some of them are predators.
Oh, they're carnivores?
Yes. So, for instance, our Florida horse conch, that's our Florida state shell. It's a very prominent predator. It eats other mollusks, particularly other gastropods. It'll use its muscular foot that it has inside of the shell to smother its prey. So
they're so slow. How do they sneak up on them? They just sneak or?
Well, they're both slow. So both the predator and the
slower.
Prey. Exactly. Find something slower than you.
It's like a slow motion version of the African savannah.
Yes, exactly.
So this guy would be like the cheetah of the of the mollusks?
Yes.
And so you brought one in. Show me this. This thing is really large. And if you want to see what we're talking about, we're having photos taken, and they are on our Facebook page and on Twitter at WGCU Public Media on Facebook and at WGCU using the hashtag GCL on Twitter. So this that you have in your hand is what?
This is the Florida horse conch.
And that's probably like about 8 inches long?
Yeah, I would say so. They can get a lot bigger than this. This is one of those species that keeps growing. It doesn't stop. Our world record length shell for this species, we have it in the museum. It's 24 inches long.
Wow.
It's 2 feet of shell. It's crazy.
I wonder how. So how old do you think this guy is, or can you tell?
We can't tell. We think average lifespan is about 15 to 20 years for the big conchs and whelks, but I would say this is maybe 10 to 15, something like that.
10 or 15-year-old? Yeah. He's about to drive.
Right.
He's about to go get his license.
That'd be a scary picture, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know. Well, I talked to a guy a while back, and he had a big clam farm off the water on Pine Island.
Mm-hmm.
And one year he said he lost 95% of his clams because of a cold snap. So he no longer does the clam farming. That's
gotcha.
A loss that not a lot of people can take. Are mollusks really sensitive to cool weather?
It depends on the species, I think.
Well, that was a bivalve because it's clams.
Mm-hmm. I don't know much about that subject. I do know that some species can't survive in the cold. Some species can't survive down here in the summertime when it gets really hot in our water.
It is. It's really warm.
I know that our local shells, they grow slower in the summertime because it's just the conditions are really, really hot and they can't do very well in it. But yeah. In the wintertime, they grow faster because the conditions are more ideal for that. But I guess if it gets too cold, that can damage them too. So,
and I've also heard they're kind of like a frontline harbinger of what's happening in the ocean, kind of like the canary in the coal mine, because they do a lot of filtering.
They do, yes. So I know a lot of, particularly at FGCU, they're doing a lot of oyster research and what they eat and how they grow. And there's been a lot of restoration efforts on Sanibel in particular. So I think oysters are a good indicator of what's in the waters because they can – one oyster, just one, can filter 50 gallons of water in one day. So a lot of things pass through there and get collected. So,
have you ever been spit at by an oyster?
I have not, no.
I have. It's really alarming. Where did that come from?
Right.
That's happened. We are talking about shells and mollusks with Lee Gay from the Bailey Matthews National Shell Museum on Sanibel. She's taking the show on the road with Mollusks on the Move, which will have its first presentation this weekend at Lee County's Manatee Park. You can give us a call if you have any questions about your favorite seashells at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or you can find us on Facebook and photos of some of the shells that Lee brought in at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. So what can people expect to learn about in your program that you're going to have this weekend?
So this weekend, we're bringing some of our live animals from the museum to Manatee Park in their auditorium. And I'll just be talking about a little bit about their ecology, the habitat that they live in, who eats who, the reproduction, and just, you know, answering people's questions. I try to keep it pertinent to what people want to know. And I like answering questions about mollusks. It's a lot of fun.
Are you going to have who eats who in the same tank?
Hopefully not.
That might be rude.
Separate them, right?
You could have a live action 3-hour long drama of this is the horse car
right, eating the other thing.
Yeah, no, that would take a little while. That would be a long program.
Right.
So what's the most rare shell that you think you could find in this area? What would be an unusual one?
Well, a really rare shell that people always come to Sanibel and ask where they can find it is the Junonia, which I'm holding right now.
And it looks like he's polka dotted.
Right. It's beautiful white shell or off-white shell with brown spots all over it. And it's a rare shell because it lives in deeper waters. So it takes it a long time to wash up on our beaches. And when it does, it's often not perfect. It's often beat up and, you know, it's been in the ocean for a while and they don't look great. So finding a really nice one is extremely rare. And in fact, you get your picture in the paper on Sanibel if you find one. So,
really?
Yeah.
I have to start looking for those. And, you know, I'm always wasting my time looking for sand dollars that are still intact.
Right.
Those are so delicate. So tell me more about some of these other guys. There's a very shiny one that you have there. What is that?
This is
probably about an inch and a half long.
Yeah, very pointy at the top. This is called a lettered olive. Lettered olive, it's a type of gastropod, and they're so shiny. This is natural. I didn't polish this or anything. They polish themselves. They have a muscular foot that can come out, and they kind of move over their own shell to keep themselves shiny. And they travel under the sand to catch little tiny clams to eat. So they're a carnivore as well.
And then they don't have any sand stuck in them. And so I don't know. I think that would be distracting if you were a fish. I'm like, ooh, shiny object.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. So they typically move under the sand. So they have to reduce that friction. Rough shells don't move under the sand as well. So they know they have to keep themselves smooth to do that.
So how far do some of these guys travel to get here? Like the polka dotted one, I forgot. What did you say?
Junonia.
Junonia. Mm-hmm. That one you said came from very deep water. Do all of these guys come from more shallow water? Because is that guy so rare?
Most of our shells, most of the common shells you find on our beaches just grow and, or, you know, live in very shallow, just offshore waters. So, you know, chest to knee deep, I would say, is
really
their ideal habitat. Yeah.
So they're living. But when I'm walking out there, I'm not feeling these guys. Are they all mainly under the sand?
Some of them are under the sand. It depends on what beach you're on. If you go out on some of Sanibel's beaches on certain days, you can walk and your feet really hurt because there's so many shells under your feet, even in the water.
Yeah.
So it depends on the day. It depends on the currents, the tides, as to where the shells are.
And since they're kind of slow-moving vehicles, they're not really scurrying out of your way.
Right, yes.
Like the stingray shuffle is helpful for that when
can't
you have
do a
those
mollusk
guys.
Shuffle.
The mollusk shuffle. That'd be ow for the toenail.
Right.
I mean, can you imagine? So how can you be sure that there's not a little bit of mollusk living in a shell that you pick up on the beach? Is there any way to tell? I mean, are they obviously kind of hanging out, or can they kind of snug back in there and you may accidentally take one that's got somebody in there?
Some of them can get pretty far back in there. Most of the species, if you pick it up and you look at where the opening is, if there's something alive in there, you can tell. There's always going to be something that you can
see. He's got like a little door, mm-hmm. like a little hard thing.
Right. So the little trap door you see, we call it the operculum. And that's how they can kind of seal themselves off from the outside world. So look for something inside the shell. Sometimes it looks like a little wooden, almost wooden looking.
It kind of looks like a leaf from one of the oak trees around here.
Right.
Sort of.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's cool. He just kind of shuts the door.
Yes, they shut the door.
To protect himself.
And then bivalves, they don't have an operculum, but usually if they're closed, then they're alive. So usually a closed bivalve is alive.
I've learned that with the linguine and clams, that if it doesn't open up, you need to not eat that one
because
something went wrong with that one.
Right.
I love my bivalves. They're good. And my calamari.
They're delicious.
So what if you get one that you think has a little bit of carcass involved in there?
And still left.
How do you get rid of that? I mean
– Well, if it's very stinky, that's how you know that there's a little bit of carcass left. But just take it home. I've heard people, you know, dunk them in a bleach solution, you know, like 10 to 15% bleach and just leave it in there for a while. And then hopefully that stuff will just fall out. But sometimes it doesn't happen. I usually don't – if it stinks, I don't take it home just because I don't want to deal with it.
Well, yeah, but what if you don't notice it, you know, because you're all excited at the beach and you put it in your trunk and then 2 days later you're just like, whoa.
Yeah. I would say bleach is the best way to go.
Yeah. That would definitely stink up. So the little shorebirds that we see running in and out with the waves, you know, those little tiny guys. I love watching those guys. Are they going after the little tiny coquina shells that end up turning into the little butterflies?
Yeah. So some of them are after those coquinas. Others are after little aquatic worms, those little mole crabs or sand crabs.
Mm-hmm.
They eat those too. There's a bunch of different things that they're looking for. But coquinas are definitely one of them.
So then I'm wondering what happens to some of these shells. So like – those are little birds, and those coquinas are about as big as their beak. Are they just swallowing those things whole?
No, they try to pry them open. Yep, their beaks, they can kind of get in between them, or they can hit them on the ground. Or I don't know exactly how they
That's
do
pretty
it,
quick.
They do
That's
break
pretty
them
quick
open.
Moving, because they're out there, and then they come running back, and then when the waves come back.
Right.
And forth.
Yes.
So what has happened usually to some of these shells that makes them in the state that they're going to be blown right up? Have they been taken out by predators? And sometimes you see some that have little holes in them. What is that about?
Yes. So most shells you find on the beach are there due to predation, either from birds or other mollusks, most likely other mollusks. So that's how they get to the beach. They wash up. There's nothing really keeping them attached to the substrate or the ground anymore, so they just wash right up.
So your program that you're going to have, this is going to be focused on anybody that shows up at the Manatee Park. But then you were talking about other ideas that you had maybe with kids.
Yeah, so this is part of an ongoing program. This is just the very first event that we're doing. I also want to reach out to schools and you know, community colleges, places like that. Anyone who wants to learn about mollusks can with this program. We'll bring live shells to them. And the activities that kids can do, I want to align them to not only the Florida State Standards for Education, but the next generation science standards. It's really cool. And, you know, they haven't been adopted by every state yet, but the activities are very hands-on. They're inquiry-based. So it's the kids asking the questions about what they want to learn instead of me just lecturing them.
Yeah, that usually gets some good information out.
Yes.
You know, and kids always ask, and I'm not going to say the darndest things, but they always ask the greatest questions, and they kind of get you thinking about things too.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, I really appreciate you coming in and showing. Tell me about this bigger guy. This is kind of a medium-sized kind of guy here.
Yeah. So this is the lightning whelk. And
okay. I see those a lot. Now that, is he old because he's bigger?
Yeah. This is probably a young female. Usually the female lightning whelks are bigger than the males. So this one is what a typical male would look like, and this one is what a female would look like. And they can get much bigger. The world record for this shell that we have in the museum is 16 inches long. So once again, this is another one that doesn't really stop growing. They're very cool. They're one of our only left-handed shells. So if you hold a mollusk or a gastropod with the opening towards you and the spire facing up, the opening is on the left-hand side of the lightning whelk. So you can always remember left for lightning.
Oh, that's good to know.
And then almost all the other gastropods are right-handed. So like the horse conch, the fighting conch, Junonia, banded tulip, all of those are right-handed.
And this purple here, this small purple, looks kind of like the Shell Oil Company symbol.
All right. So this is a calico scallop. It's a very common bivalve, especially on the beaches of Sanibel. They can range from really deep purple. Sometimes they have orange stripes on them. You can find full orange ones sometimes. They're beautiful bivalve.
What's the most unusual one that you have seen?
Most unusual. I found an angel wing once. That's probably the rarest one that I've personally found. They're bivalve, and they look just like an angel wing. They're pure white, and they're really, really, really pretty.
So, and then there's delicate. One similar to the angel wing that has like little spikes on it. It looks like it looked like that, but a little bit rougher.
I know there's the turkey wing.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm talking about the turkey.
And they're brown.
Okay.
Yeah, they have brown stripes all over them. They actually do look kind of like a turkey wing. So
yeah. They sure do. All right. Well, I really appreciate you coming in today and sharing with us a little bit about these shells and the official state shell. That was the horse?
The Florida horse conch.
Florida horse conch. Good to know. And your event is this weekend at the Manatee Park in Lee County, correct?
Yes, Manatee Park at 12:30.
And do people just kind of show up or do they need to make reservations or anything?
No, they just show up.
Just show
first up. First come, first serve seating. So, yeah.
And they can see the exciting carnivorous action of a slow-moving
Exactly. I'll even act it out with the dead shells so I can see how they do
great.
It. Yeah.
This is pretty much what it looks like.
Right.
I think that would be just so hard to try to get into one of those as a wild animal as for predation, especially with that door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way they do it, the horse conch has to cover up another gastropod with its muscular foot, and it holds it like that for hours until the light –
until it just gives up.
Until it suffocates.
Oh, yes. It's like a constrictor type
exactly.
guy.
Exactly. So after it suffocates, there's nothing really holding the soft parts of the prey in anymore, and they kind of fall out, and the horse conch eats what falls out of there. So
wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, enjoy your presentation
Thank
tomorrow.
You.
Saturday. That's mm-hmm. a day after tomorrow. And best of luck. And I hope a lot of schools sign up to learn more about the mollusk.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I am Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.